Welcome to the Personal Financial Planning Section podcast, delivering insights from experts on tax, retirement, estate, risk management, investment planning, and practice management, designed to help you best serve your clients and take your practice to the next level. I'm your PFP section host, Sarah Bradley. Be sure to visit us at aicpa.org/PFP and stay tuned at the end of the episode for information on how to access valuable resources. And now over to our guests.
Thank you, Sarah. I'm Lyle Benson, and I'm here to talk about the AICPA Personal Financial Planning Summit, which recently wrapped up in Austin, Texas. This program is really put together and designed to be very different from most other conferences that are out there. It's meant to be a small, intimate gathering of leaders in the profession who can come together and learn as much from the attendees in the room as they do from the facilitators who lead the sessions. I'm joined today by Michael Goodman, my co-chair of the PFP Summit, and we'd like to walk through some of the highlights of the sessions that we took away so you have a sense for what Summit's all about and some of the great information that came out of Summit this year. Let's start off with the first session that we had with Kate Healy, and we started with a fireside chat with Kate Healy the evening on Sunday evening of Summit before her kickoff presentation on Monday. Michael, give us some thoughts on that.
Yes, Lyle, it was really great to have Kate kick it off on Sunday evening in the fireside chat because it gave an opportunity for everybody to sort of welcome in, sit around the fire, and talk about not only Generation Next, which was the primary focus of her presentation, but also just about other issues facing the profession and get us started on that. And then Monday morning, when she did her formal presentation, which was titled Team Building for the Next Generation, it was really primed and ready to go. I think the coolest thing I got from her session was that her title's called Generation Next, Managing Director, Generation Next at TD Ameritrade. And what she really woke up the crowd with was that Generation Next is not only about the next generation coming into the profession, the younger folks that are coming out of school and growing into roles within our firms, but she talked about and reminded us of the fact that it also includes people coming from other careers and other professions coming into our profession of wealth management, financial planning. And I thought that was a really unique way to sort of start us all off.
I would agree with you, Michael. I think it was a really good kickoff. And I think that point you made is really what made that session different and made it unique for me, not expecting that coming in. And she talked about a couple things like money differences in other cultures. And you may be hiring employees or working with clients from other cultures who have a different mindset about money and different traditions that come along with money. And being open and aware of that, I think, is important as you deal with clients and employees and as firms become more diverse over time. So it was a great way to kick off Summit this year. The session we went into after that was a session on mindfulness and financial planning by Jody Jacobson. And Jody did a wonderful job of just sort of helping us step back and think about how to be more mindful in terms of how we serve clients, how we work with our teams and our firms, and how we live our lives, really. She talked about focusing and active listening, not prejudging people. And one of the great points I got was bringing a beginner's mind to your role. And I know I've heard of that in other talks and other professions as well, that that's so important to not overwhelm your clients with technical knowledge and all, but bring that beginner's mind and be inquisitive and ask good questions as you go along. She also talked about the space between impulse and reaction and making sure you take time and don't try to immediately jump to an answer or have a preconceived notion about answers for questions your clients may have, because you need to give clients time to really flush things out and really be an active listener. So I thought it was a really good way to sort of frame up how we communicate and how we work with clients and staff. From there, we had a wonderful session from a Dimensional Fund Advisors, who was our location sponsor for Summit this year, Stephen DeMann. Michael, thoughts on what he covered?
Yeah, I think Stephen's session was great because he carried so much energy into it. He's clearly a passionate guy about what he talks about. And what was neat is he has data that's not so common in the profession. Dimensional underwrites an investor survey that covers over 22,000 respondents. That's taken at three different times during the year, which is important because there could be different issues going on or different news headlines going on at these different times. So you get a really good broad section of time and survey information, as well as this covers the entire world. There's advisors from all over the world that are part of this survey. And it was not only informative, but he pointed out that the Net Promoter Score is probably the one single most powerful way to survey your clients as far as their referability, their satisfaction, and how much they enjoy being with you. And he broke it down into promoters and detractors. And that's a great way to think about it. These promoters are people that you want to embrace because they're promoting your practice. And the detractors, you need to determine how you're going to handle those people to get them to be promoters or not to spend your energy on those, because those are clearly not people that are good investments for your future.
You know, one of the aspects of that that was helpful for me was the Net Promoter Score really designed to focus on experience with clients like the client that's doing the survey. So we all have our favorite clients. We all have our clients we really enjoy working for. We feel like we add a lot of value to their overall life situation. And those are the clients we really want to replicate. And we want to make sure that we're doing the right things for those type of clients. So it brought my focus to that as well. After that session, we had Dr. Moira Summers from Canada, who's written a wonderful book about giving advice that sticks. So many times as advisors, we'll struggle with why clients aren't taking action that we suggest they take and why they aren't following our advice. And she had some wonderful ways of looking at that and thinking about that that I think are really helpful as we look at our practice. Trying to reduce complexity and reduce overload when we communicate things to clients, eliminating the jargon, is so very important. One of the key takeaways I got was helping me to trying to focus on making meetings as productive as possible. We often prepare an agenda. We always prepare an agenda ahead of time. We have sort of a process we go through to develop that agenda, get it out to the clients. But really making sure the agenda is the clients, by asking them, what would make today's meeting successful for you? And is there anything else you want to cover today? And at the end of the meeting, did we accomplish what you wanted to accomplish? Those kinds of questions, I think, are really important takeaways so that you do have advice that clients will take action on. And doing whatever you can to make it easier to implement advice and decrease the friction and remove the rocks from the road along the advice path, I think, is really important. You know, our role is really to be a coach and support clients through decisions and through implementation and through our conversations with them. So it was a very thought-provoking session. After that, we had a fireside chat Monday evening with Verist and Cheryl Holland. And Bob does a great job of bringing together the things that were talked about during the sessions and getting it into that smaller setting. So at the end of each reception on Sunday and Monday, we have these fireside chats, and probably half of the audience or more would attend those and just have this informal conversation among their peers and among the speakers about topics like this is really helpful. You don't get the chance to do that very often at conferences. So then the next morning, we started with a speaker about building a growth culture. Michael, you want to talk about Nancy?
Yeah, Nancy Blakey gave a presentation called Evolving Your Client Services Culture into a Growth Culture. And I think the real focus here was that while her technical role as a sales trainer, she really doesn't view it as sales training per se, as much as just championing the services that you're already providing, understanding how the different service models that you have or the different service elements that you have for your clients fit into the needs of other people. And then within the firm, her mindset was to help founders or first-generation founders that are sort of natural salespeople, natural communicators, delegate and transition the responsibility to the next generation to create more of a growth and sales culture. Because none of these people generally got into the profession to be salespeople. They got into the business to help people. And her idea of sort of educating advisors around the elements of what people focus on as they're going through the quote sales process, and then training them in these mindsets and ways to communicate to these prospects, along with ongoing coaching to help advisors get through the stumbling blocks of bringing people on board, is really sort of the pattern and program that she talks about.
One of my takeaways from that session was just, again, and this wove through several sessions at Summit this year, is clarity in the kind of clients you want to work with. You know, really having focus. So many times our businesses grow or we build our businesses by sort of taking whoever comes in the door and without a real clear vision of who we can really serve well. And I think the importance of doing that is so critical in terms of building a firm for the future and getting the kind of clients you really want to work with. From there, we had Cheryl Holland, a well-known financial planner out of South Carolina, talk to us about the client experience, moving from great to exceptional. And Cheryl's just done an amazing job of building a very successful firm with incredible processes for sort of everything they do within the firm. And she's got such a good personal touch as well. And she really talked about a number of things that I thought were very helpful, one of which was, you know, just overall personal relationship rules. You know, show up on time, do what you say you're going to do, keep your promises, say please and thank you. You know, good common sense things that sometimes we get away from. She also talked about the way to issue a proper apology and has a little worksheet that she goes through with her staff when they need to apologize, because inevitably mistakes get made or things happen, and how you apologize is a very important aspect of your relationship with clients. And she really constantly kind of came back to the fact that you need good processes in place to develop an exceptional experience. And if you have those processes in place and you fine-tune them over time and everyone in your firm knows what the processes are, it's a lot easier to consistently provide that kind of excellent client service. So that was really helpful. And then we had a succession planning panel, which I think was unique and different than any that I've heard. At a number of conferences, I've heard panels give a presentation on succession planning. Here we had four very successful CPA, PFS, financial planners. Michael, why don't you talk a little bit about what you saw as the takeaways from that?
Yeah, well, first off, Lyle, I think one of the coolest things we had in this panel is, while we always have great moderators for our session, in this instance, we had the CEO of FP Transitions, who's been working in succession planning for decades and has a lot of experience. So it was a really unique opportunity for somebody to sort of kick it off and give the perspective of not only what's gone on in the industry, but what's going on today and the types of things that are happening. The other advantage that we had on this panel compared to other panels in the past is not only do we have great people on the panel, myself, of course, being included as one of them, but we had four different advisors that were going through four completely different types of transactions and types of experiences. We had Mark Estrinos, a young planner who is acquiring a practice now, moving into somebody who's transitioning out and retiring. We had Ted Serensky, who was transacting his business into a very large firm and what that was like for him. But he wants to retire. Whereas Sue Stevens was also transitioning her practice into a large firm. But in her instance, she wanted to stay on and also had different skill sets that she wanted to exercise in the future, like her writing and how is that going to work in contracting with the new company. And then finally, myself on the panel, where I am actually transitioning some of my equity to the second or the G2 generation, if you will, in my organization, as well as acquiring some small practices. So it's really neat to see these different types of practices and how this is going about, what kind of deals are being structured. But most importantly was that the deal is not, there is no formal sort of pattern for a deal. There might be some skeleton or some outlines for how this works, but the reality is it's got to be what's right for you and it's got to fit into what's right for the other organization. It's really much more about the terms, if you will, than it is about the math.
Absolutely. And every situation is so unique, and every founding advisor's goals are different. And that's where I think, you know, sometimes people get caught up in they read all this or they hear this about valuations or this succession or these acquirers. I think you really need to look inside yourself and figure out what your goals are, what you want to accomplish, what you want to do beyond the time that you're, you know, leading the practice to decide, you know, what path to take in the succession planning area. And I think one of the points that came home strongly to me was that the client's needs are longer than the typical advisor's lifespan. So we want to create a firm, a practice that can serve clients into the future beyond the time that we're going to be practicing in our firms. So it was a really good panel, really well put together, and I think people got a lot of benefit from it. The last day of the conference, we started off with an added bonus session, if you will, on the SECURE Act. One of the most important aspects of Summit is the fact that we've got this collective wisdom in the room, 100 advisors who are very experienced at what they do, working with clients. And when something like the SECURE Act comes into play that really changes many aspects of the planning we do for clients in the retirement area, we thought it would be the right place to at least have a conversation about it. So I was joined by Scott Sprinkle and Ted Sarinski to talk about the SECURE Act, not from a standpoint of trying to teach everyone the provisions of the SECURE Act, because we assume most people at least are up to speed on the basic parts of it, but really talk about the planning aspects. And that's what we focused on. And we spent time talking as a group about things like the impact of not having the stretch IRA rules anymore for most beneficiaries. There obviously are exceptions, but what impact does that have? And we talked about, you know, alternatives to that, or how to cushion that impact, and, you know, multi-year tax planning across multi-generations, using multiple beneficiaries wherever you can is an important element of that. We also talked about the impact of a SECURE Act on Roth conversions. At least they'll make sense. When do they make sense? You know, how should you consider them? We talked about the qualified charitable contributions and the fact that you've got a window now between 70.5 and 72 when you don't have to take RMDs yet, but you can do qualified charitable distributions. And talked about investment strategies, too, and just, you know, a little bit about, does any of the SECURE Act change how we would locate assets in which buckets, whether it's in retirement accounts or non-retirement, non-qualified accounts or Roth accounts. So it was a good general discussion. We kept it short and focused, but just getting the feedback from the audience was really helpful in terms of our collective wisdom on this topic. From there, we had a session by a guy named Michael Goodman who talked about the hiring process that he has in his firm. Michael, what are the highlights of what you covered?
Yeah, my session really focused on the lessons that I've learned from the many mistakes around hiring, but also included some really specific tips from a book called Who by Jeff Smart and Randy Street, which talk about the A method of hiring. And the whole mindset of the session, in my opinion, was more around, you know, if you want to attract candidates to your firm, you have to be an attractive firm. You have to be thinking about this sort of all the time. It's not a, you know, one time when you need an employee and you go out and start recruiting. You really have to be in the mindset of building your team at all times and kind of know what you're looking for before you start looking. If you wait until the last minute and you're just trying to grab somebody to fill a role, you're not going to have a good experience. You really need to have laid out sort of a scorecard of what the outcomes need to look like for this role, and then look for a candidate that meets that specific requirement as opposed to the candidates that are already on your plate. And finally, and probably more importantly, is you have to stick to an objective process. The idea of these, quote, voodoo hiring habits is going to derail a good hire. You need to make sure you have a process with very specific questions that remains objective and not subjective to sort of just liking the resume or liking the person, and really going through, like I said, a rigorous process with several other teammates in your organization. So there is that sort of give and take and debate and discussion around whether a candidate really fulfills the role of what you're looking for.
Michael, one thing you mentioned in that session that I thought was very helpful, I think was probably a Mark Tabersian quote, that we typically hire fast and fire slow, and it really should be the reverse. We really need to take our time in hiring, as you've described in your session in so much detail, and described as far as how you go about it. I also thought your session was great because of your humbleness. I mean, you're willing to share the mistakes you've made and let others learn from that. And that's so important and so much a part of Summit. I think everybody has to leave their ego at the door and really have these open discussions among our peers. So to wrap up then our last session of the day, Michael, why don't you talk about that?
Sure. We were really lucky to have a great anchor speaker, Apollo Lupescu from Dimensional Advisors, talking about communicating the advisor value proposition to not only prospects, but as well to clients in an ongoing experience. Apollo's got decades of experience communicating these concepts, and he's really evolved over time and shared that with us. And probably one of the best takeaways for me was that he used the term SHAQ, S-H-A-Q, as sort of the way that he thinks about it. And that's an acronym for stories, humor, analogies, and questions, and that this is the best way. And the first thing you want to do is make sure that you really understand what the client's looking for and ask good questions to make sure that you understand the way that you might respond. And he gave several examples of sketches that he would do and stories that he would tell, and different methods to address clients' concerns. It all culminated, though, in his presentation on showing the value of the advisor with what he calls the four C's. And those four C's are competence, coaching, convenience, and continuity. So competence is really around our technical knowledge, all we know about planning and investing and taxes, etc. And that's one of the elements of the advisor value. Another element was coaching, and that's the education we give, the emotional coaching that we give to clients over time, helping them through difficult periods in their life, whether it's a business transaction or family issue, and keeping clients adhering to their goals over time. Finally was convenience, and that's basically not only the delegation that you can give to your advisor, but also the time savings and the service and having somebody there to coordinate your trusted professional so that it's in a very efficient manner. And then finally, continuity. This was the last C, and this talked about really bringing the family together, having one person for the whole family that the family can count on, that's hopefully beyond the patriarch or the matriarch who handles these types of issues within the family, and helping in multi-generational planning, legacy, and philanthropy. So those four C's were sort of the anchor of his presentation, providing for the value of the advice.
I think one of the other aspects of value advice that he touched on that was helpful for me was sort of this three-part diagram or three-legged stool, if you will, functionality, you know, the utility of the advice, the technical advice to what we give, emotional, the feel, and then third, the social, you know, can they implement it? Can they carry it out? And again, his session wove in nicely with some other themes that carried through Summit this year. So it was great to be able to close with a session like that and with a strong speaker like that. So that's really a summary of what Summit was all about this year. The AICPA Personal Financial Planning Summit was held in January of 2020. We really appreciate everyone that attended this year. It was a sellout this year. Because we want to keep the conference small, we want to limit it. We were limited to 100 people, and it sold out several weeks before the event. So we really encourage people to come back. We want to see this group again. And we've really built a wonderful community that comes to Summit each year. And we saw that throughout all the interactive opportunities through the networking, as well as, you know, over lunches and over breakfast and everything. And people just really connecting, meeting people they didn't know before, finding folks of similar situations and firm sizes and all that. We even gave people an opportunity at lunch to break out by groups based on size of the firm so that they could find some peers who were in similar situations. And we saw a lot of people that hadn't met before, you know, having a chance to talk over lunch in that setting. So it really was a successful event. I think it's a great chance to move the whole profession forward, and we hope to see you at it in the future. On behalf of the AICPA PFP section, this has been Lyle Benson. If you enjoyed this podcast, I highly encourage you to visit the PFP section website and access the resources that are there. Stay tuned for Sarah Bradley. He will tell you how to find these resources, and thank you for listening.
And thank you for sharing with our community of listeners. Want more information, resources, tools, and guidance on technical and practice management topics? Visit AICPA.org/PFP and check out the show notes for this episode as well. So if you're not already a member, think about joining the PFP section, which is designed to save you time, help you best serve your clients, and take your financial planning practice to the next level. You'll gain access to a robust selection of high-quality technical and practice management resources like guides, 24/7 access to an online learning library, client communication and education tools, up to 8 hours of free CPE, and more. Don't forget to leave us a review so we can continue bringing valuable and relevant content. And subscribe to our podcast channel so you don't miss an episode. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to next time.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein. and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.